Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
And we welcome you back in. Monday edition of Morning Drive, fourth and final hour off and running. Nick Braden, D-May San Marquise here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Big final hour coming up as we will go around the NFL at 9:30. And, of course, the big finish at 9:45. But the Predators get their season underway this week as we start welcoming back in our weekly appearances. And joining us each and every Monday on this show will be our buddy Darren McFarland, who, of course, you hear on the Preds Radio Network. And, of course, Darren, Donick, and Chase. D-Mac, what's happening, sir? How are you?
Well, boys, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
How are you?
I'm vibing, man. I'm hanging in there.
There you go. So what do you like? Let me ask you best case scenario, because we've seen like the replenishment of the depth of this team. Guys like Tolvanen, guys like Pitlick are going to start the year in Milwaukee. What do you think is the best case scenario for how a lot of these guys will play out this year that made a case in camp for being on the big league roster?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. Look, I've admitted this, Nick, a long time ago. I admitted it to Peter LaViolette last week at Centeno Sportsplex. I gave up, you know, trying to doubt coaches, because I know sometimes it is coach speak when you hear there's battles in camp, and I used to always be hooey-fooey. There's not, you know, there's no battle for that position. Give me a break. That guy's job is not in jeopardy, or they're not really serious about that guy. Well, I've learned a long time ago there really is something to it, and it's no different in football or any other sport. There truly are camp battles. I mean, they are truly interested in what they see, especially if it's somebody in their pipeline, somebody that they've drafted and invested their time into. So these guys have absolutely opened the eyes up to the coaches, and sometimes it's just about stages, right? It's just about growing up, and D-Mace knows this. Sometimes you're just ready. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be great at one point or really, really good at one point, but you're just not ready, especially in hockey where they start at such a young age. They don't have to go to college. Now, some did, Rem Pitlick did, but it's about learning the two-way, you know, both ends of the ice and just growing up. It's a man's game out there. When you're 18, 19, and 20 years old, my goodness, I think about me at that age, holy cow. You know, I wasn't even close. I was barely close to being ready for life. Forget trying to be a professional athlete. So, you know, these guys have gotten the attention of this coaching staff and front office. I mean, it's not just words that, hey, Rem Pitlick and Ellie Tolvanen look like they've taken the next steps and look like they're ready. I think it's not coach speak. It's not just words. I think when something happens, which is inevitable, right? I mean, it's just going to happen in the course of an 82-game season. It's just like football. It's no different. Injuries are going to happen. Unfortunately, those guys are going to be the first ones they look at.
If you look at the Central Division, you know, I there's a lot of teams you can make the case to be the favorite. Dallas, certainly Nashville's in that conversation. St. Louis is the defending champs. Who are the teams that you just say, you know what, I don't think they can compete? I know it's a deep division. I know there's four or five or six contenders. Who are the teams that you think just, I don't see that team competing for a playoff spot or for a division title this year? I'm trying to play the elimination game here to some degree.
Well, Brayden, I would love to give the answer. I would eliminate everybody in the division, but that is not a truthful answer. In fact, once again, here we sit after how many years now? I mean, we just saw the St. Louis Blues come out of the Predators division and win a Stanley Cup championship, the Stanley Cup trophy. The Predators were in the Stanley Cup final. You had, I mean, look, the Chicago Blackhawks in their run. You had the Winnipeg Jets making their run to a conference. I mean, look how far this division and how it's represented the division over the last 5-6 years. I mean, it's been murderer's row. I mean, the Predators have been fantastic. The Jets have been fantastic. Everybody has been good. Really hasn't been any dogs in this division. And the teams that did have trouble, like Dallas is really good, and then they drop off. And then they come back, and they're really good, and then they drop off. So there's never been, you know, somebody like the Cleveland Browns in the division year after year where you just cross them off the list and you go, well, they have no chance. I mean, if you're asking me to pinpoint, Minnesota's always steady. Yeah, they don't, you know, it's the Marty Schottenheimer. They always get to the playoffs, but they can't make any noise, and so they get that tag, and certainly their coach has that tag, rightfully so. But Minnesota's always there, but I truly think Minnesota has taken a step back. I mean, gosh, I hate to pile on Paul Fenton. It looks like it was a rough 1 year as the GM of the Minnesota Wild, but does not look like a roster that is going the right direction. It looks like it's a roster that's regressed because of some of the moves, and I just have to believe that Minnesota, while I think the division may be the toughest division in hockey, they may be the worst team. I mean, I wanted to answer that with Winnipeg. Man, I was keeping my fingers crossed that Patrick Laine would get traded away. They wouldn't sign Kyle Connor. He would be available. Dustin Byfuglien would say, I'm done, so I could say, well, Winnipeg's out, but... What happens? Laine gets a 2-year bridge deal. Kyle Connor gets signed over the weekend, and I guess we're still waiting on Big Buff on what he's going to do. And it looks like Winnipeg will probably be back in the fold and in the mix. And even a team like Chicago will be better. So Dallas is really good. Colorado's really good. The Predators are really good. Braden, unfortunately, we're right back where we've been the last 5 or 6 years. The division is just really good. We need more dogs. That's D-O-G-S. Dogs.
We know D-Mac, we know Lavi doesn't mind, you know, tinkering with lineups. And right now it's the whole Turris, where do I put them? Do I break up the Jofa line and insert them there and try to get the best out of them from that standpoint, or do I put them in a second line? Where do you think he would be better suited, with the first line breaking up the Jofa line or putting them on a second line?
Well, it seems like what they've done, once again, you know, getting back to sometimes what we see in camp and in preseason, it plays out in the regular season. And I have to believe that they were doing that for a reason. I mean, I have to believe at least at the beginning of this. Look, and we know lines change. It's hard to talk about lines in hockey because they change so often. Very rarely, unless you just have those special lines and they're just clicking at all times throughout the course of a season. I mean, coaches typically tend to try to push buttons, right, and move people around and try to get something or somebody going. But I have to believe this. I mean, obviously, they want to get Kyle Turris going. Everybody knows that. We know about his season last year. It's vitally important that number 8 gets going, and what a better way to get him going than put him up there with some really, really incredibly talented hockey players. And so far in preseason, he's looked really good. Now, he's got to finish, right? It's all about finishing. We know. In hockey, you got to finish, and he has a bit, but he's been all over the place. He's been all around the net. He's hitting, banging pucks off the post. I mean, and the Predators had some power play goals, which he was a part of as well. They had 5 power play goals in 6 preseason games, and so he looked good on that second power play unit. You know, so yeah, as of right now, I think they're serious about, you know, we've talked so much about that first line, which, you know, Forsberg, Arvidsson, and Johansson. I mean, that is a true first line, but sometimes if you gotta, you know, we talk some about other teams when they come in waves, it's about those first two lines, and I think the Predators want to talk about the first two lines coming in waves, and just like a lot of other really good teams, Pittsburgh has had that luxury over the years. And so I think for now, yeah, I think they are going to be split up and subject to change, but I think to start off the season on Thursday night, we'll probably see what we've seen in camp and in preseason.
D-Mac, final one for you. We saw some of the big news come down on Friday. Patrick Laine gets a 2-year deal, average annual value at $6.75 million. Your reaction to that Central Division move?
Damn! My reaction is good for Patrick Laine, but yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, it was weird. It looked like, you know, there for a while, I was like, are they going to trade him? Is this really going to work out? He wants to be up on the first line. There's a prime example. Winnipeg is another team that's those first two lines coming in waves, and Laine's been a guy that's been on that second line. He wants to be a first-line guy. He wants to, you know, be a superstar, which, you know, certainly has the name value. He's put up the stats, but they want him to be a, two-way player. They want him to both ends of the ice, and some of the things we've talked about, there's more to it than just scoring. And he's been in bulk. He's been kind of like Sam's club the first half of the season. He hasn't been Sam's club in the second half of the season. He's done most of his scoring early on and then kind of teeters out as the season goes along, which, you know, that becomes the most critical time of the year. So, you know, he gets a two-year bridge deal, which is also something that we've seen, a new little trend in the league where you're thinking these young up-and-comers, some have gotten the long deals, the big deals. Some have gotten the 2 and 3 year bridge deals. So I guess it depends on which franchise we're talking about. In this case, it was a 2 year bridge deal. They're heavy loaded. They're backloading the second year. So whenever they get to that point, that's the marker they can use. So it's a kiss for the player and his agent of saying, hey, this contract is up. This is the number we have to go on. So the smaller numbers on the first end or the beginning part of the contract, and the larger numbers on the back end, and they negotiate from there. So it helps the player out. But, yeah, I guess Line A and his ridiculous goatee or beard is going to be back in the fold in Winnipeg.
D-Mac, to steal a line from you, we're done. It's time to pull the ripcord. Get ready for your show. We'll be listening at 10. We thank you very much.
Guys, good to talk to you. Thanks.
You got it. Darren McFarland joining us.
And Winnipeg also signed Kyle Connor, 7 years, $50 million contract as well. Interesting that they put more chips in his boat than in Patrick Laine's boat. Just a couple years ago, that would have been comical. We would have said Patrick Laine's the far better player. That number for Laine, though, it's, what was it, 6.75 AAV? That makes you look at him versus Kyle Turris's $6 million a year and go, because if Laine's worth 6.75, I'd take that in a heartbeat over Turris at 6. Winnipeg's, there's some cap issues for Winnipeg. Coming up soon.
We'll get into that on the other side as we react to what Darren had to say. Also, coming up bottom of the hour, we go around the National Football League. It's Morning Drive live here on a Monday.
Guys, I want to tell you about Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. And listen, I trust people that have been in the market, who know the environment, who know their products, who know their clients. I like local business. I'm sorry. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, locally owned, over 2 decades of experience in Middle Tennessee, and they have an answer for all of the problems that your house presents from a heating and cooling standpoint. And again, small issues, you can fix those problems with Spring Hill Heating and Cooling by joining their Comfort Club. You get 2 checkups a year in off-season times to make sure that when the heat of the summer, like right now, or the winter time when it's extra cold, that your house is up and running smoothly and efficiently. It's a diagnostic check to keep everything running smoothly and prevent the big problem or the big costly repair. But Spring Hill Heating and Cooling also has an answer for you. If you do end up with that emergency situation where you have that big costly repair, they'll come out, they'll do the whole diagnostic, they'll give you all the information you need to make a great educated decision, and then they'll provide you with lots of different great financing options. For example, you need to buy a new AC unit. You need to replace the big equipment, right? Huge cost. How about no interest, 5 years for qualified buyers on new equipment? That's a fantastic deal because most of us can't just write a check to fix the entire thing. Proud sponsors of Smashville Live as well. Local business, folks. Buy local. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill AC is the website. SpringHillAC.com. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Again, friends of the show. Not using the other guys anymore. That's why my family uses them. Buy local, everybody. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling.
Right now, it is your chance to win a pair of 3-day passes to the Exit 111 Festival in Manchester this Friday, October the 11th. Actually, next Friday, October the 11th through Sunday the 13th of October. The lineup includes Guns N' Roses, Def Leppard, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Slayer in their last ever show in Tennessee, Deftones, Ghost, ZZ Top, and more. Just be caller 5. 615-737-1025.
Sharp-dressed man over there.
Yeah.
D-Mace will be there.
Yeah.
Rocking out.
It's October. Basically, today is the first, right? Or tomorrow?
No. Yeah. Tomorrow.
Was basically.
It's basically. Yeah.
It feels like July 4th.
Exactly.
Black Keys.
Hot as fish grease.
It's fish grease pretty hot.
Fish grease, yeah. Fish grease. It's been hot as fish grease.
All fryer grease is very... It is, it's absurdly hot.
Yeah.
When my wife, who's been living in Tennessee since the day she was born, is coming up to me telling me she wants summer to end, like that, I've never heard her say that ever.
I don't mind summer.
And she's like, I need this weather to stop. And when my wife is complaining about it being too hot, then I know it's too hot. because that's a she likes it. She likes the hot weather.
Fish grease is hot too.
Fish grease is very hot. Only fish grease at Bridgestone Arena is when you throw the catfish on the ice there. Smash for Live returns this Wednesday, folks. That's right. We returned before the Preds actually returned. So there you go. Smash for Live on Wednesday, hosted by me, live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, located at 1855 Galleria Boulevard from 7 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday night. This week's guests are Nashville Predators General Manager David Poile and Assistant General Manager Brian Poile. So it's Poile-a-palooza at Smashville Live. The first 50 people will have an opportunity to get an autograph or a picture. Fans can obviously win tickets to see the Preds take on the San Jose Sharks at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, October 8th, plus Nash and the Energy team will be there. Smashville Live, of course, is brought to you by great sponsors, Amsterdam Vodka, Cool Red Spirits and Wine, and the wonderful folks at Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. So come out on Wednesday, everybody.
We got
a Poile-a-palooza.
Yeah, you got the PPEs going.
Okay.
I like the Poile-a-palooza.
The
Poile-a-palooza, though, has like a wrestling feel to it.
I thought Poile-a-palooza was pretty good.
You get like Brian Poile, David Poile, and then Brian Boyle, who was here last spring. It could be like the Poile.
PPB.
It could be the Poiles of Pain.
PPB.
It could be a killer stable on Monday Night Raw.
Or PBP. Or BPP. Or just PP.
You got anything else?
You guys done?
I just said the PPs. He's got the PPs
so
on.
So I was shut up. I was looking at, that was mean. I'm sorry. I was looking at odds because when I asked Darren like who could be, and I've talked to a lot of like just hockey experts that I trust the last couple of weeks just to get a feel for what expectations should be in the division and in the Central Division, and almost everybody I've talked to agrees Minnesota's the worst team, and Darren kind of agreed with us there as well. But when you look at the odds. Plus 300 Colorado to win the division, plus 400 Dallas to win the division, plus 400 St. Louis to win the division. The Preds and Jets are both plus 450, so the Nashville Predators are fourth right now, according to Vegas, to win the division. Chicago is plus 800, and then Minnesota is way down the list at plus 1600. So basically what Vegas is telling us is outside of Minnesota, there are basically six teams that can win this division.
I just don't know what Vegas sees in Colorado to make them the favorite.
They're getting better talent wise every single year. They're going deeper in the playoffs every single year. Their young players are getting better and better every single year. I don't have a problem with them being the favorite. Now I think Dallas, like I would probably pick Dallas to win the division right now if I had to pick one. But
see, I'd take St. Louis.
But I think St. Louis is a favorite. Again, the Vegas odds are telling us that Colorado, Dallas, St. Louis, Nashville, and Winnipeg
and who's
basically all the same.
Who's the goaltender for St. Louis?
Why you gotta do this to me?
Come on, first one of the season.
Jordan Binnington.
Boom.
Yes.
There we go.
That's my boy.
Birmingham. I can't.
Boom.
It took me so long to get that stupid name right.
Well, I mean, but you love to have a division. I mean, the Preds don't love it. They wish they were the favorite and they would end up winning the division. But to have a division where there are four or five teams that could potentially win it, you know, every night just about you got to show up with your A game. And what's going to ultimately separate it all is two things. Obviously, you know, good goaltending play and then a war of attrition. Who stays healthiest longer? I think the Preds last year, them having the bulk of their injuries kind of hurt them toward the latter part of the year because they had their injuries and, you know, things started to, you know, not go as well. But then guys started to get healthy and they started to play a little better.
I like that this team is picked fourth, according to Vegas. If I'm a Preds fan, I like it. Mm-hmm.
So kind of like the Titans,
the Titans have won two games as a 5.5-point dog, and they've lost two games to backup quarterbacks as favorites. Some teams don't play well as favorites, and some teams play well as underdogs. I like this Predators roster with a chip on its shoulder with something to prove. I that's how I am wired as a sports fan. I want my team to be the underdog, to play with that sort of like underdog mentality. I just enjoy that situation better. I'm way more uncomfortable when I'm the favorite as a sports fan. I just think that's good for the Predators, having had so much success the last 3 years, best 3-year run in franchise history, to now be looked at as, oh, you still got to do something. You still got to prove it by the national people, by Vegas, by bettors that say, you know what, Dallas might be better, you know, Colorado might be better, and St. Louis might be better with justifiable reasons. I don't know. Call me crazy. I like, in a division that's so tightly packed, I like not being the favorite. Maybe that's just me being weird.
Speaking of calling you crazy, call me crazy. I don't care if this team gets 95 points. Mm-hmm. I don't care if this team gets 110 points. I don't care if they win the President's Trophy. I don't care if they get in as a 7 seed. As long as this team makes the playoffs, that's all I care. Because we've seen Central Divisions. Mm-hmm. We've seen President's Trophies. I want to see the power play better this year. I want to see Kyle Turris figure it out. And all I care about is the postseason. So I almost really don't care if they are world beaters in the regular season, if they just are steady Eddie, even keeled. If they go through struggles for 2.5 months and get hot at the right time,
yeah.
I don't want to diminish the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
But we're at a point now where it's, hey, you need to win a Stanley Cup. I know you're a playoff team. The other extra checkbox bucket list items, they've already checked off.
Well,
just get in and do your thing.
Well, it all depends on, you know, what type of hockey are they playing prior to the playoffs. Because I think that means a lot. If they're playing good hockey, there's good goaltending play. The power play has been relatively figured out at that point, heading into the playoffs, then I think that's a good thing. If there's still some type of, you know, question marks in certain areas, I don't think you want to enter the playoffs like that. And it's not just for me, it's not just getting into the playoffs. It's, you know, what do you do when you get in the playoffs? You can be the first seed or the last seed, but what do you do once you get in the playoffs? Because I don't think it's acceptable at this point in time, considering where they've been, anything less than a trip to the Western Conference Finals is a disappointment. It truly is. So, and I know for them, you know, it's probably anything less than a championship is a disappointment.
Yep.
But I'm just saying anything less, considering, you know, the type of team they have, these guys have been together long enough. They've had Duchesne. They've moved around Turris, and hopefully that works out. To me, anything less than a Western Conference, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but we do this and we love doing it or hate doing it. But anything less than a Western Conference,
but it's like one of these
game,
things.
When it's a disappointment.
When
to
you're
me.
A playoff team year in and year out, like. I mean, do Patriot fans still value winning the AFC East?
I think they do.
Do Red Sox fans? I mean, the Red Sox, they want to win a World Series. The Golden State Warriors, you think they care about winning a Pacific Division?
I think it's just Boston, at this point.
No. Boston didn't even make the playoffs this year.
I think you do from the standpoint, let's just say those sports. I think you do because it gives you that home field sort of advantage. I mean, you can win the President's Cup. Trophy. You can win the President's Trophy. You can be like Chicago did the one year they won a President's Trophy, but they were not playing good hockey toward the end.
Well, look at Tampa Bay last year.
They ended up getting eliminated.
They got swept in the first round.
It all depends on how are you playing toward the end.
I think it helps. Yeah, and I think you're right. I think we can sit here and say, all right, what's a reasonable expectation for this team? And say, we think anything less than a Western Conference Finals appearance would be considered a mild disappointment to a first-round exit, huge disappointment. Second-round exit, not as disappointing. Third-round exit, okay, pretty darn good season. You were one of the four best teams in the NHL. You made it to the Western Conference Finals. Are the players going to walk out of that that locker room on that final game completely distraught and disappointed? You bet.
Yeah, I think they would.
And fans in the moment should be distraught and upset. No question. But I think, and again, those guys, their reasoning is, Stanley or bust. It's Stanley Cup or nothing. I think for those of us in the media whose job is it to look at a team and create expectations on the front end, at the start of the year, we say, what is supposed to happen with this team? What do we expect to happen? And those change, right? Those change as the season goes along. But right now, I think that's the benchmark for me too. Western Conference Finals, I am satisfied with the year. More than satisfied with the year. That doesn't mean that's what I want.
Well, for me,
you want a championship.
It depends. Like, if you're in the Western Conference Finals and you're a massive underdog to Calgary and you lose in 6 or 7 games, okay.
Right.
But if you're the favorite in the series and you're up, I don't know, 2-0 in the Western Finals and you lose 4 of the next 5, well, then it would be a major failure.
No, that's, you're right.
A lot of specifics within it.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's not just if, you know, a lot of people say the phrase championship or bust. A lot of times it's what does the bust look and feel like and how is it, which is always very important with a bust. How does it look and feel?
Oh, yeah.
And so,
duh.
So you have to, you know, again, like if you're the one seed and you get run by the eight seed, that's very different than if you're the underdog and you lose in seven games. So everything is gotten subtlety and nuance to it, which of course is lost in all of sports talk communication at this point. I think the number one biggest fact, to build on y'all's point about, you know, you don't care about the President's Trophy or the division, I do think that home ice does matter to some degree. It can help you. It can make your path to the Stanley Cup easier. You know, if you can go through a wild card and another wild card instead of two division champions, that makes your path a little easier. So there is some of that to be in the equation. So that is something that should matter to people, having a great regular season, seeing your team win all the time. You know, that's not 95 points. That's 110 points. I think this roster has more flexibility today than it did last year going into the season.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a deeper pipeline with better prospects in Milwaukee with Pitlick and Tolvanen and Davies, giving them opportunity to play. Carrier's down there too. Last year, I don't think they had as deep a forward core as they do today. You know, no PK Subban's a huge loss, but this is largely a more versatile roster, both at the forward position and in the prospects position, which gives Lavi and Poile a lot more maneuverability throughout the course of the year, especially if you need to do the one thing I think you have to do, which is acquire a Braden to win a championship. You've got to have a Braden on your team to win a championship.
Braden Schenn, Braden Holtby.
Those are the last two champions. Washington won a championship because they had a Braden on their team.
The Colts have a Braden now.
Mm-hmm.
Braden Smith.
Are they going to win, though? I don't know. They did go to the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. But in hockey, it's clear that the obvious strategy to win a Stanley Cup is to acquire a Braden. So I'm willing to suit up for the Preds if I have to.
Coming up next, it is time to go around the NFL. Marquise Hollywood Munson has the biggest storylines and the biggest highlights from week number 4. That's next on Morning Drive. Welcome back in Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Big Finish coming up in just about 10 minutes. But as we do each and every Monday at 9:30 here on the show, we go around the National Football League, some of the biggest highlights, some of the biggest storylines emerging from yesterday's NFL action. And now I hand it off not to Joe Buck, not to Kurt Menefee, not to Michael Strahan, but to Marquise Hollywood Munson.
Mayfield throws wide open to the 5, to the end zone. Ricky Seals Jones with the touchdown. First and 15. Chubb. Chubb with running room. Chubb to the 40. On his way to the end zone.
The Browns get a big victory on the road against the Baltimore Ravens. Baker Mayfield, all the overrated hype that Rex Ryan was talking about. Rex Ryan even wore orange and brown yesterday on the TV broadcast.
Does he know who the Titans safety is yet?
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
Byard.
It's that Kevin Baxter guy.
Yeah, Kevin Baxter. So the Browns get a big win, 40-25 against the Ravens. After seeing that Browns offense now outside of, you know, Odell Beckham getting choked by Marlon Humphreys, but
yeah, he threw a punch too.
He did throw a punch and probably should be suspended for that. Mm-hmm. But the Browns offense, have they finally come alive? That the Browns offense that you've seen and this overhyped Browns offense that we talked about all offseason.
I would say Freddie Kitchens did the right thing by giving the ball to Nick Chubb and realizing that Nick Chubb is how he's going to win games this year, because then the job is easier for Baker and everybody else.
Totally agree.
I was surprised that they were able to put up 45 points. But when you rush for 160-some yards, Nick Chubb, you can do that against, you know, that's a pretty good, really good run defense. And they just ran all over them.
And first place in the division now.
Yeah.
You know, Lamar Jackson kind of looks like, you know, a middle-of-the-road quarterback when he's not playing the Dolphins and the Cardinals every week. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
He did. Even in the Kansas City game, he played pretty well. He's a guy. He's gonna take chances, and they're gonna live and die with it. But I think the positives with him outweigh the negatives.
How about this? How many teams in the AFC have a better record than the Titans?
A few.
Three.
Yeah, a few.
The Browns are 2-2. Baltimore 2-2. All of the AFC South is 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers and Raiders 2-2. Chiefs, Patriots, Bills. Only teams better record than 2-2 in the AFC.
Mm-hmm. And one of them comes to Nashville next week?
Yep.
Oh! That one hit Davis right in the chest. And it's Janoris Jenkins. And And that's a third interception thrown by Haskins, and that one was clearly not his fault.
Now, the Redskins remain winless, 24-3, lost to the Giants. Obviously, rookie quarterback versus rookie quarterback, because Dwayne Haskins checked in for Case Keenum. But he threw three interceptions and was sacked twice. Is it safe to say, fellas, that Jay Gruden would probably be the first coach fired in the NFL?
Yeah, I think he's going to get whacked. But I think the bigger story is Daniel Jones, the first Giants quarterback to start off 2-0 as a rookie since Danny Cannell. 1997.
Oh, wow.
You know what he's going to do, Daniel Jones? He's going to have a career where he plays for like 18 years, wins, you know, basically half the games he plays, will throw a lot of interceptions, but will probably put up a lot of stats, and then probably beat Patrick Mahomes in like three Super Bowls.
So he's Eli.
So he's going to be Eli.
Yeah. Basically. Hey, Giants will take it.
Yeah.
Giants will take it. I think it's either Gruden or...
Dan Quinn.
I think those are the first two guys that are gone this year.
The way they
I don't know
up
who
yesterday.
Goes first, but one of them's going this season.
Haskins had some moments of looking good, but he did not.
That's not a good team. Washington's not a good team, man.
Yeah.
And,
I agree.
You know, maybe just maybe they shouldn't have played him just yet.
You might be right.
You know,
Cousins loses the football, strip sack. Takeaway by Chicago. Who else but Khalil Mack?
At some point, you're not going to be able to run the ball for 180 yards, even with the best running back in the NFL. And that's when you have to be able to throw the ball. You have to be able to make plays. You have to be able to, you know, hit the ball, the deep balls. You have to do that because otherwise it's too easy for teams to just tee up and rush the quarterback. So we have to be able to run the ball and pass the ball. In this league, you cannot be one-dimensional. It's just too easy to defend.
Adam Thielen, wide receiver, throwing his quarterback under the bus. Now, and I know we talk about this Bears defense and how good they are, but how much was Kirk Cousins' struggles just because of this defense, or is he just that awful?
Kirk Cousins, look at his history against really good teams and really good defenses. Kirk Cousins has got to have the best agent in NFL history. To get that money all guaranteed, the guy is mediocre.
Well, they thought they were one guy away. They thought they had every piece left other than the quarterback, so they let Keenum walk, who I don't blame him for that decision to go to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a better player, but Kirk Cousins has not. You know, he's put up a lot of numbers that aren't important.
Well, Chase Daniel came in yesterday in relief of Trubisky, and he looked better against Minnesota than Cousins did, who's the starter against Chicago.
And this Chicago defense, boys, holy smokes.
Listen, all-time great?
I don't know about that.
Trending
yet,
that way?
But it's foolish.
They are
holy
trending
smokes.
On being one of the best defenses ever.
Couldn't beat the Packers. Couldn't beat Matt LaFleur.
They held them to what? 10
no,
points,
I just,
yeah.
I just like talking nonsense.
But, I mean, listen, yeah, Adam Thielen, I don't know if he was throwing his quarterback under the bus. I think he was saying we have to be able to throw the ball down the field. We got to throw it and catch it. And it's just as much on the receivers to get open as it is the quarterback to make that play. But, man. When Khalil Mack and that front seven
Good
is
Lord.
Barreling in on you, man.
He's got 4.5
You
sacks.
Try to be the quarterback in that situation.
And that was a defense yesterday that didn't have Roquan Smith, who was inactive.
Man.
And he's a beast.
And I will say this about Adam Thielen. He had 2 receptions for 6 yards in that game. So probably a little frustration there with 6 yards in that game.
Well, get off the line of scrimmage, Adam Thielen. Beat that vaunted defense. And then you'll be all right. But, man, that defense is...
Can we do that segment about the Bills-Patriots game tomorrow? Because I think there's a lot that we need to discuss about that particular game as it pertains to coming up this weekend, for sure.
No doubt about it. Coming up next, it is time for the big finish. Stay there.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
That is correct. It is time for the big finish. We do it each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive. And the big finish, Braden Gall, is brought to you by
Nashville Soccer Club. Get your season tickets for the inaugural MLS season next year at NashvilleSC.com. That's right, the website, NashvilleSC.com.
And we welcome you into another edition of Morning Drive live here on a football Monday.
It was a good victory. Well, a good first half, let's put it that way. it's good that Derrick Henry has been running the ball the way he has been, because it forces the teams, especially teams like Atlanta, to stack up the line. And then, you know, they have to play one-on-one or off coverage outside, and it makes Marcus's job a lot easier. And frankly, they did what they should have done in that scenario. They went down to Atlanta, and for the first half, they just totally had their way with Atlanta. Second half was a different story. I don't know if they changed game plans because they were up and they just, you know, relied so heavily on their defense. But it was a tell of two teams, first half and second half. First half, they played basically flawless football almost.
The two touchdown passes, I can't decide which one's better. His second one and his third one are both two of the most beautiful throws he's made this season, last season, three seasons. I don't know. I mean, those are the touchdown, the fade route to Brown, and then obviously facing a blitz on a third down to get rid of it as fast as he did to Corey Davis on the outbreaking route. Is exactly what people have been asking him to do, right? Like, read the play, throw a receiver open in the face of pressure, make your team better, and that's what he did yesterday in the first half. The defense was exceptional. Dean Pees will drink your milkshake every single stinking day. What, three fourth down conversions inside their own 40-yard line? The defense was exceptional yesterday. Atlanta's going to score a lot of points on a lot of teams. That Titans defense is going to travel, boys. Every single game they play, they could be in because that defense is legit.
We welcome in our buddy Corey Curtis from News 2.
I don't want to be overly harsh or mean after a victory, but it might be the worst game managerial decision I've ever seen. I just sat there and was absolutely astounded. It's a possession game at that point because it was the fourth quarter, and it puts you up three possessions. A touchdown puts you up three possessions, so there wasn't that much to gain. And he talked about, you know, wanting to get his offense, you know, a play, and I guess, you know, really put it away. A field goal. It also, a field goal rewards your offense for a good drive.
Vrabel, you know, an aggressive coach by nature, but it is sheer simple math. It's, I think it was, what, 13 minutes ago in the game.
Yeah.
You can make that a three-score game. Why are you being stupid? Congrats to Vanderbilt. They get their first win of the year. Also, Keyshawn Vaughn having his first kid, I believe, a day before.
What did you guys do the day after you, like?
I slept like I gave birth. Two quick things on this Vanderbilt game. One, there's no way there was 24,000 people there.
No.
Total lie.
No,
I mean,
no.
There looked like there was 24 people there.
I saw you guys tweet about that.
No, it's just outrageous. What a blatant lie. 24 grand? There's no way. Looked like there was 24,000 people at the Falcons-Titans game yesterday.
It was like a high school playoff game. That's what it was like.
It really was.
No, seriously. No lie. A high school playoff game. It would be the equivalent to, say, I don't know, who are the best teams
now? It would be NBA, Brentwood Academy versus NBA.
Exactly.
In a state championship game in like Cookeville.
And that's what it was. That's basically what it was. And you hit it right on the head, right there. Vandy fans are just, it's like y'all live in this alternative world. Like, I mean, y'all think that y'all are supposed to blow teams out for some reason. Like, oh, they're Northern Illinois. No, Northern Illinois, even though I said last week they went out a good team. That's a good team.
They played a tough schedule.
Yeah, they played a tough schedule. And Vandy, I mean, Vandy is just Vandy.
We welcome in Mr. College Football himself.
Tennessee's just not very good. They don't have the personnel they need. They don't run the ball when they want to. The quarterback keeps missing open receivers. They're just not a very good football team. Now, the Tennessee people have got to be patient, and that's not their strong suit. Well, nobody's patient, but let's just be fair. Nobody's patient. But, no, this is a Georgia team that is getting better and better and better. Had a really tough game against Notre Dame 2 weeks ago. I think that helps you grow as a team. So, no, I don't expect Tennessee to keep this game close.
Yeah, right, Trevor now, Lawrence is not the best player in America.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence has looked awful this year.
Awful is a really
this is what you guys do. You college football national media guys fall in love with one game because he looked better than Tua. Tua Tagovailoa looks leaps and bounds better than Trevor Lawrence this year. You can look at stats, you can look at tape, the eye test. There's no way you could. Now look,
Tua's played better. I've never argued
Trevor
that.
Lawrence could be the next Andrew Luck. But right now, Tua Tagovailoa is leaps and bounds better at this moment through 5 weeks in Joining us each and every Monday on this show will be our buddy Darren McFarland, who,
as of right now, I think they're serious about, you know, we've talked so much about that first line, which, you know, Forsberg, Arvidsson, and Johansson, I mean, that is a true first line, but sometimes if you got to, you know, we talk to them about other teams, when they come in waves, it's about those first two lines, and I think the Predators want to talk about the first two lines coming in waves, and just like a lot of other really good teams, Pittsburgh has had that luxury over the years, and so I think for now, yeah, I think they are going to be split up and subject to change. But I think to start off the season on Thursday night, we'll probably see what we've seen in camp and in preseason.
It's a big week this weekend. Lenny Dykstra pulled out 2 days before the fight. So
that's soft.
They replaced Screech? It was Screech that replaced him. The
what?
The Muhammad Ali of celebrity boxing, Screech, replaced Lenny Dykstra.
So like, what happened? Did he fight Bagel Boss?
No, because Bagel Boss pulled out of the fight. Once Screech got in
so
the
we
game.
So we got multiple guys pulling out.
Yes.
I still think there needs to be a fight. Like, I still
would you
I
fight Bagel Boss?
Would you fight Screech? Let's fill that.
I would drop him in 2 seconds. Philly Nick would come out. I'd knock that New Yorker right out.
I don't know, dude. Bagel Boss looks pretty wild.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
His hands look pretty quick in those training videos.
Trust me. I am not pulling out. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. That was the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. It's a part of the Big Finish each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive. Yeah. You guys remember that song? Little Khalees, 2003,
yes.
I think?
Man, the video was even wilder.
I could teach you, but I'd have to charge.
I think this is the difference, Nick, between you and I, and my nerdiness, and I think
oh
your coolness, actually. We hear the same phrase, and I think of Daniel Day-Lewis doing an Oscar performance in a 3.5-hour movie about oil companies in the 1800s, and you hear it and you think about a pop song that
16 years ago just went to the wayside.
16 years ago.
Yep. That's pretty much it.
That is us in a nutshell.
All right, really quickly, we've got Monday Night Football tonight as the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Bengals play a battle of 0-3 teams. Could Monday Night Football suck anymore? I swear to God, every week the games are awful.
Man, well. So,
like Sunday night is great and then Monday night is just...
Hey, the Bengals have the better quarterback.
Oh wow!
They do.
Just think about that.
Yeah.
Where were you when Mason Rudolph lit up Andy Dalton? That'll be the question we ask tomorrow morning.
Two offensive juggernauts
in my bed, sleeping, not watching.
So nobody's watching Monday Night Football tonight.
Should anybody watch it?
No.
If you're not a Steeler or a Bengal fan,
no.
No.
It's not like Corey Dillon's in the backfield. Ben is at quarterback. You know, Le'Veon is at running back, and it's a vantage. You know, Stiller and Bingo defense, those days are gone.
I can't wait to watch Tyler Boyd and James Washington tonight.
Although, you know what? One guy that's really lit it up so far this year was a guy you were critical of, John Ross.
Yeah,
he's had a good season.
He's playing well. He's playing well this year.
Let's see how it goes.
But, I mean, again, nah, I don't want no part of it. He laid it down versus Alabama.
Okay.
I will always remember that.
Yeah, you're never going to let that go.
No, I'm never going to let that go.
All right, that is it for us today on a Monday. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. Little double dip action. The boys are back together. The Constable, by the way, sporting a tan.
Yeah, got a nice little tan. He was in the Big T.
Must be nice to take off days during football season and just lay on a beach.
Yeah. Was he really laying on the beach?
There's not a lot of great beaches in Clearwater.
Yeah.
But they had fun. I saw some of the social media. Social media stuff.
Social media?
Yeah, social media. I was belching, whatever it is.
Speaking of social media, as O.J. Simpson would say when he signs off on social media, take care.
Bailey DJ Nashville, I love you.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.